Turn in your Bibles to the book of Malachi in the Old Testament. It's the last book in the Old Testament. If you get to Matthew, turn back to the left, and you'll get to Malachi. Malachi, the third chapter and verse 6. Malachi, the third chapter and verse 6. Short little verse. I'm not even going to read all of the verse, just the first half of the verse. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Truly, He doesn't. Now, think for a moment, those that are married, whether you've been married 3 years or 50 years or whatever, you ever made any changes since you first got married? Yeah. You know, we all change. We all change. I saw a friend of ours yesterday, an older lady, and I said, did you have eye surgery? Because her eye was kind of black. She said, no, why, what's wrong? I said, well, your eye's kind of black there on the side. And she said, it's just getting old. I'm changing. And we do change. Our bodies change. Our lifestyles change. Our hearts change. Our desires change. I mean, we change in a lot of ways. But God never changes. You know, aren't you glad that God doesn't change? I mean, we live in a time when everything seems to be changing around us. Our nation changes daily. Our world changes almost daily. Our families change as they get older, as the kids grow up, as we have grandkids and great-grandkids. Our families change, and everything seems to change around us. Even those negative things outside of our family, the upheaval and all the other constant change. But there's something that always remains the same, and that is God. He's always the same. Sometimes, as a preacher, and other preachers have had this, they ask, what in the world, with the world being the way it is, constantly changing, what do you preach about? Well, I always tell when I'm speaking to that or speaking to a group of wannabe preachers, you let God, the Holy Spirit, tell you what to preach. You don't worry about the changes. You let God tell you. In a few weeks, there'll be a couple of nights that I will be actually teaching in a school of ministry. I didn't think I was supposed to be teaching this year, but they told me recently, they said, oh yeah, you still got a couple of nights that you're preaching, teaching. Actually, it's 4 nights. But the first 2 classes are on preaching. And so there'll be young people in this class, and they always ask, well, how do you prepare a sermon? What do you preach about? You know, and those are the topics that come up a lot of times. But God never changes. He never changes. And I hope that this message today gives you hope and gives you peace and strength, regardless of what's happening in your life and in your family. Because God doesn't change. We may change, and we will change, but God never changes. As Jesus Christ has said, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever in Hebrews chapter 13. But today I want us to look at something that God is always loving. He is always loving. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 to 19, it says, being rooted and grounded in love, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints, that is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know that the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. The width, the length, the depth, and the height. And we've talked about this before. But God's love is wide enough. Now, that's as far as I can stretch my hands, and that hurts my shoulder, but it's as far as I can stretch my hands. But God's love is even wider than what I can stretch my hands. Wide enough for anyone, wide enough for everyone. And sometimes we think, well, you know, it's just That doesn't include me. It does include you. No matter who you are, no matter what you have done, you can come into God's love, His grace, and His mercy are wide enough for you. Have you ever known someone that you think, there's just no way that that person could become a Christian? But it happens. Because, you see, God's love is for everyone. We knew a man one time in a church. He was an elderly man. He was a sheriff. And people thought, there's no way that guy would ever become a Christian. He was, to put it nicely, he was mean. But I saw for a fact, one day when it was odd, because he never, ever came to church on Sunday mornings. His wife did. She was very faithful. But he shows up on a Sunday morning at this church, and he'd been out sick from his job and other things. He had had a double knee replacement. And at the end of the service, he walks down, and he wanted to give his heart to Jesus. And he did. And I baptized him. Later preached his funeral. But God loves you so much. He loves you so much. How in the world could we possibly say God loves is so wide? In John 3:16, that verse that probably everybody in this room has memorized, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you've ever memorized a scripture verse, that's probably the one you've done. That or maybe one or two others, but that's usually the first. No person is too lost. When I was a teenager, I worked in a grocery store, and the guy that delivered the groceries at the store, the big truck driver, he would have been a guy that I would have thought, that guy is too lost to know Christ. He had hair, real long hair and a ponytail, real long beard, and he'd usually wear short sleeve shirts with tattoos, awful tattoos up and down his arms and on his legs, because he would wear shorts. He'd wear a big old knife on his side, and about every fourth word out of his mouth is something that you don't repeat in church. And I mean, he was just one of those type guys. There ain't no way that guy could become a Christian. Well, I got to notice him. We got a truck delivered every week. It was a small grocery store. We got truck delivered every week. And I got to notice him. He wasn't showing up. And one day, the supervisor at the distributor plant showed up, and he was walking through. And I said, hey, you know, we called the guy Hell's Angel. And if you'd have seen him, you would have called him that too. I said, you know Hell's Angel? He said, yeah, you mean the truck driver that had the long beard? I mean, his beard came down to probably about here. And he said, you mean the guy with the long beard, ponytail, and all the tattoos? I said, yeah, what happened to him? He said he didn't know that I, at that point, had already given my heart to be a preacher. He didn't know that. And he said, would you believe it? The guy had a wreck in his truck, totaled his truck, ran off an embankment, totaled his truck, was in the hospital laid up for months, and somebody came in there and led him to Christ. And he said he shaved his beard, cut his hair, started wearing a tie and preaching. He said, can you believe that? I said, well, I can believe what God can do. I've never seen the guy since, but I thought he would have been too lost, but he wasn't. Saul of Tarsus was a man that you would say, well, man, he was too lost. I mean, he actually had people put to death for being a Christian. Now, he was a Jew. He was a very devout Jew. He was a Pharisee. But he was having people that were proclaiming to be Christians put to death. Was he too lost? Well, God met him on the road to Damascus, blinded him for a few days. He became a Christian. Some could say, well, there's no hour too late. No hour too late. You ever heard of someone that made a profession of faith on their deathbed? There's no hour too late. I mean, you remember the thief on the cross? They're about to die, and he turns to Jesus, and he says, will you remember me when you enter into your kingdom? And then he was put to death. No sin is too great. No sin is too great. The prodigal son had sinned. He ran away from the father. He took his possessions, took the inheritance. He ended up feeding pigs, which was totally against Judaism. But no sin is too great. We could list name people that we probably know that would fit into one or all three of those categories. But God's love is wide enough, but God's love is also long enough. Now, what's the difference between wide and long? Well, I guess we could say this way, maybe long. God's love is long enough. In Jeremiah 31:3, God said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I've loved you with an everlasting love. There's no time that God hasn't loved you. However old you are, God loved you from the day you were born. God loved you 9 months before you were born. God loved you before you were even conceived in your mother's womb. God loved you, an everlasting love. And He still loves you even today. There's no time that God won't love you. Now, if you could look into a crystal ball and see your future and see things that you may do or things that may happen in your life, there's no time that God won't love you. No matter what happens in the days ahead, God's still going to love you. The great preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said, "The rain of His grace is always dropping. The river of His bounty is ever flowing. And the wellspring of His love is constantly overflowing." You've seen pictures, perhaps you've even been in one that's called an infinity swimming pool, where it looks like the water just goes on and on and on. It's just an optical illusion. Or perhaps you've seen these fountains where they just seem to just constantly be bubbling up water out of a fountain or a pool or whatever. It just keeps on bubbling up. Or you could go to Washington, D.C., and you could go to the tomb of John F. Kennedy, and there's an eternal flame there. Now, if they turn the gas off, the flame would go out. But the flame don't go out when it's raining or when it's windy. It continues to burn as long as the fuel is provided for that. Well, the idea of God's love is it doesn't turn off. It's always there. It's always present for us. Have you ever felt like God did not love you anymore? Maybe you have. But God's love is still there for you. Maybe it's the guilt of sin. Or maybe it's that you're shackled to sin. Well, these are some old handcuffs here. And imagine if the other end of that handcuff is shackled to a sin in your life. Imagine the old iron balls that they would wear around their legs, and you're dragging it around, and you're constantly dragging that sin around, and it seems like you cannot get free of it. But fortunately, I have the key. Hopefully it works. Yep. It worked. But you see, what God can do, He can break those shackles. He can break the chains that bind us down and hold us down. Or maybe it's a pain from suffering. And sometimes we have pains, and all of us in this room have pains today. And like I joked with Jack earlier about, he may not feel like 29. None of us do. Because we have those aches and pains that are come with us with old age. But regardless of what you are facing, what you've done, there's never been a time when God hasn't, and there's never will be a time when God won't keep loving you. Now, God looks into your heart and life and says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. But God's love is deep enough. Deep enough. No matter how far that you have fallen, or how long you have strayed, or how deep you have sunk, God's love is deeper still. Hopefully no one in this room has ever experienced quicksand. I've seen it. I don't remember where I've seen it, but I've seen it. But I wasn't about to step out in it because they said it was quicksand. You would sink into it. And then if somebody doesn't pull you out, you just keep sinking in. So no matter how deep you have fallen or how far you've strayed, God's love is always deeper. In the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 38 and 39, it says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That is a powerful verse. Memorize it. The lowest, deepest place in our nation is Death Valley, California. I've never been there. Don't have a desire to go there. Not on bucket list. But they say that's the deepest or the lowest place in the United States. On the face of the earth, the lowest place is the Dead Sea in Israel. I have been there. It's like a desert around it. There's no fish or living organism, whether it's, they say there are some sort of microorganisms that's alive, but it almost has a funky smell, and I didn't get out in it, but they said if you were to go out in it and you think, well, I can't swim, I'll sink, you won't sink. You float. That's how salty that is. But it's the lowest place, supposedly, on the surface of the earth. But on the entire globe, the deepest place is the Mariana Trench. And I was looking up how deep it is, and it said, I don't know why it didn't give me an exact figure, but it said it was 1.2 miles further than the tip of Mount Everest to sea level. And Mount Everest is about 5 miles high, and so that would put it about a little over 6 miles deep in the Mariana Trench. And I don't care to go there either. I have seen Mount Everest from an airplane. And you look out there and there's this majestic mountain out there. It was awesome thinking about God and His beauty there. But there's a beautiful, beautiful Christian song. And I'm not going to try to sing it because my voice is not doing good today. But it's called "How Deep the Father's Love for Us." Here's a few verses of that. "How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wrench His treasure." Beautiful song. Look it up on YouTube and listen to it sometime. So God's love is deep enough, but God's love is also high enough. Like we talked about Mount Everest, the tallest mountain in the world, 5 miles high. To talk about the height of His love is to remember His source. It's not man-made love. It's not earthly made. It's not temporary. It is heavenly love, divine love, God's love. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrated His own love toward us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Now, God demonstrated His own love when He sent His Son, Jesus. Would you give up your son or your daughter to die for other people? Nope. Now, if your son or daughter went off into the military and went off war, they fight to protect freedom, and sometimes they lose their life. And we've all had friends or family that have lost their life in the military fighting for our country. But pushing that aside, would you give up your son or your daughter for someone else's sin? No, you wouldn't. You just wouldn't. I wouldn't. But God did. God gave His son. The greatness of His love is determined by the height from which it came. In John chapter 15, "Greater love hath no man than to lay down his life. No love is greater, no love is broader, no love is deeper, no love is higher than the love of God that He sent Jesus to die on the cross." when I had the opportunities to witness to Hindus or to Muslims. And I would ask that question: what does your God do for you? What has He done for you? And they can't answer that question because their God, a Hindu God, a Islamic God, does not do what our God can do, and that is to love. Now, think about these questions here. Ask yourself this question: will I accept His love through faith? Following Jesus is a response of love. And God sent His Son because of love. So will you acknowledge Him in your own life and follow Him, surrender to Him? Don't have to earn it, just accept it. I saw something on social media the other day where somebody was going around asking people, do you believe in Jesus Christ? And one after the other, would say no, or I'm not interested, don't want to talk about that, leave me alone. But most of them would say no, no, no. But if someone came up to you and said, how would you describe your God? How would you describe Him? How would you describe your God? Well, I've given you the answer. He's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. Another question to think about: will I affirm His love and following forgiveness? You know, we're all sinners. Don't sit there and think, well, I'm perfect, I don't sin. I heard someone one time in another church, I wasn't in that church, but I heard this person say it, and he said, I don't sin. You just did. What do you mean I just did? You just lied. Because we're all sinners. But do you feel ashamed of some sin that's in your past? A mistake, a failure that maybe you did? Thank God has forgotten and forsaken you. Well, remember, there's never been a time that He hasn't loved you, and there's never be a time when He won't love you. And then one final question for you to think about is, will I allow His love to forgive others? Now we're going to meddling. You know why? It's easier to ask God to forgive me of my sins and what I've done. But when it comes to someone else who's hurt me, stabbed me in the back, hurt my family, that's harder to forgive. But will you allow God's love to forgive others? If God has forgiven you through love, then we can forgive others. But we can't do it without God's love in us first. Is there a broken relationship in your life? Maybe a family member or a coworker or a former friend? I've had people, and I've said this before, I've had people over the years that I thought were friends. Had a best friend one time. He stabbed me in the back. And when I felt God's love, God said, do you want to go another step further with His grace? I said, okay. And He said, forgive him. Really? Do I have to? Well, if you want to experience my grace, God said, you got to forgive him. And I did. I had to forgive this very person who was my best friend that stabbed me in the back. But choose today to let God's love bring peace into your life. God is always loving and He never changes. And just remember, He loves you so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you and praise you for loving us. We're not lovable, but you love us. You've always loved us. You always will love us because you're unchanging. You said it in Malachi. You've said it in the New Testament. You're always loving us. So, Father, I just pray that everyone in this room will show their love back to you. And Lord, if we need to forgive someone else, show us how to do that. through love. Father, we're living in a world that's changing ever so rapidly, but you don't. You're always the same, and thank you for that. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen.